I've been thinking about my situation. Baby, sometimes I think my time has come.
Coming Alive by Jim Eldridge. With Carl Howman as Terry King and Phyllis Logan as Sandra Gaines. Part 4. Here comes the judge.
Well, I know what I will do for sure. Well, I pray. Yes, I pray. The Lord will come and take my troubles away.
Dear Meryl, well, two letters in the space of a few weeks. You must be wondering what's brought on this sudden rush. The truth is, I don't know what to do. Terry and I seem to have come to some sort of crunch time. Oh, maybe it's the strain of not being able to see each other properly because my mother's still here and we've been having to keep ours a secret. Terry seems to think it's because of David. You remember David? Well, all these years later, and he's still as gorgeous as ever and still as full of good works and saving the planet. Maybe Terry's right. Maybe there is a little part of me that wonders about me and David. But then I think of Terry, and I just know that he's the one I want to be with. Only now, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm pushing him away. Oh, whatever. It's all such a mess.
No, Wally, that's a fault!
Well, which one's the sock?
The grey one with the pointed back!
He's a bit young to be buying car parts, ain't he?
He's not buying. He's my employee. I'm training him.
Don't tell me you can afford to pay someone.
I'm not paying him.
Steve, there are laws against child slavery.
One, he's not a child. He's 16.
Yeah, and at that age, they're still very vulnerable.
Two, he's a cousin of a mate of mine. I'm doing him a favour. I'll keep Wally here during the day, keep him off the streets, out of trouble, and teach him about cars.
So he can nick them?
No. So he can learn to act responsibly. In return, as long as he keeps out of trouble, they bung him 20 notes a week.
And you?
Another 20 minders fee.
40 quid a week?
Believe me, he's cost him more than that in compensation. I heard the local constabulary had a whip round, got enough to pay his first month.
That's very good-hearted of them.
Well, yes and no. He was making their life a misery and all.
Steve!
Yeah?
The screws holding the wing mirror won't come out.
Well, use your initiative!
Right.
No! Oh, honestly.
Well, he's learning.
Yeah, and costing me money. Aha! A customer. Oh, no. It's Wendy. Text message ahoy.
I still don't see how you understand those
That's
things.
A knack, isn't it? Yeah, look at that.
Nabbit.
Not a bad idea, that. It's an answer to the one I sent her.
Oh.
She's a case.
She certainly is.
Anyway, how about you? You and Sandra still not talking?
We're talking. Well, we would be if we ever met.
Is David still in the picture?
I don't know.
He's danger. Good looking, caring. Yeah. He's the last bloke I want hanging around my girlfriend.
They're old friends.
Old friends who nearly got married.
Yeah, all right.
The man who was the love of her life.
No need to rub it in.
Oh, don't worry, mate. You'll soon talk your way back into being number one.
Maybe.
No! Wally!
What?
Wally by name, Wally by nature. Looks like he's used up your first 20 quid.
And this boy?
Matthew Barnes. Mm. He's a quiet boy at the best of times, quite shy. But obviously something's happened that worries his mother.
Not wanting to come to school.
Not even happy about going out on his own.
I see. How old is he?
10.
A bit young to be agoraphobic. Any problems at school?
Not that I know of.
So you'd like me to talk to Matthew?
I'd like us both to talk to him, with his mother. You might be able to pick something up that we've missed.
OK, shall I get in touch with Mrs. Barnes?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I just need to know when you're free so I can fix up a meeting.
How about tomorrow? Morning would suit me best.
Fine. I'll speak to Mrs. Barnes and give you a ring to confirm the time.
Good.
Oh, by the way, there is another problem you might be able to help us with.
Of course.
A crack has suddenly appeared in the ceiling of our school hall.
Oh, Plastering isn't one of my strongest skills.
Don't worry, I wasn't planning to send you up the scaffolding. Thing is, we've got our annual school fair coming up, and with our school hall out of commission, Miss Wilson at the Infants suggested the centre at Grove Hill Farm.
I don't see that'll be a problem. When is it?
This Saturday.
I'll have a word with Terry King. He's our man who runs the centre. I'll ask him to check the diary and let you know tomorrow.
Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jim, Chiroon. Good luck.
Nice to see you happy.
Oh, Sandra. How are you?
Okay.
And how's your mother?
Well, there's no need to put on that tone of voice.
If your mother hadn't stuck her oar in about my babysitting, we might still be seeing each other.
I didn't think we'd stopped. As far as I knew, we were just taking a break because of your stupid jealousy over David.
Oh, come on. He brings you flowers, sweet talk, sure.
He's just an old friend.
An ex-lover.
This isn't getting us anywhere.
No. No, I'm sorry. It's just that... You were wrong, you know, to think that I'd ever put Gail at risk.
And you were wrong to accuse me of carrying on with David.
I didn't.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm not seeing him at all.
Not dead, is he?
He's gone away for a while to see some relatives in Devon.
Oh.
I don't even know why I'm defending myself on this.
Well, if you've just come round here to shout at me...
I am not shouting. And I have not come here to talk about us.
No?
No. A local school wants a favour, and I told them you would be able to give them a hand.
Hey, tick-a-tick-dong, tick-a-tick-dong, what you do to me when you are holding me tight.
Oh, you're home.
Either that or they've cloned me. What are you making?
Scones.
Oh, that's nice.
For when guests call.
Are we expecting any?
You never know when people might arrive unexpectedly.
Where's Gail?
Well, she went next door to play with a friend for a bit. I said I'd call her when supper's ready. I have a casserole in the oven.
Actually, I'm not sure if I can cope with a big meal.
Nonsense. Oh, there was a phone call for you.
Who from?
David.
Oh.
He'd lost your mobile number. I gave it to him.
Oh, right.
He also left the phone number of the place where he's staying. We had a very nice chat. He's a remarkable man, David. A very rare find these days.
So you keep reminding me.
You could do a lot worse.
I did do a lot worse. I married Dawn.
David is altogether different from Dawn. For one thing, you never moped round after Dawn the way you do after David.
I'm not moping after David.
Well, these last few days you've been going round looking as miserable as can be. I call that moping.
I am not moping.
Well, something's up with you.
If you don't mind, I'm going upstairs to change. I've had a very hard and tiring day.
Oh.
Hello? Is David Reynolds there, please? Oh, David, it's Sandra. No, nothing urgent. I just got your message. Oh, things here. They're annoying. Nothing seems to be working properly. I think I miss having your friendly face to talk to.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Mr. King.
You found him? What can I do for you?
Oh, my name's Mary Dawson. I'm the head of the Beeches Junior School.
Oh, yes, Sandra Gaines mentioned it to me. The school fair.
Good. And...
We'll be delighted.
Oh, we always used to hold it outside in the summertime, but after 2 years of the event being pushed inside by rain...
Oh, I know. It's global warming that's to blame. At least that's what the scientists say, and they ought to know. Because science is nothing but trained and organised common sense.
T.H. Huxley.
I'm impressed.
I did my thesis on him at Cambridge. You?
Prison Library, Wormwood Scrubs. The Reader's Digest book of famous quotations. It is the customary fate of new truths...
To begin as heresies and to end as superstitions.
You certainly know your Huxley.
So do you. Actually, Mr. King...
Terry, please.
Terry, I wonder if you'd consider doing me, that is, the children, a great favour.
Ask away.
I wonder if you'd consider judging our fancy dress competition. We've been rather let down this year by one of our governors.
Me?
Anyone who chooses to quote Huxley is obviously someone of good judgment, and we'd be very grateful.
Whoa. Oh, I'd be honoured to do it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. King. Terry.
No problem, Mrs. Dawson.
It's Miss, but please call me Mary.
I have a passion for the name of Mary. For once, it was a magic sound to me. Lord Byron.
Oh, I don't think I know one for Terry.
This chocolate orange is mine, Dawn French.
Game, set and match to you. I'll call you on Friday and we can make arrangements.
Yeah, I look forward
Goodbye.
To it. Goodbye. Bye-bye, bye-bye.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
it's all right. Bye.
Bye.
So, who's the bird?
That bird, as you call her, is Miss Mary Dawson, the headmistress of the Beeches Junior School.
Oh, she's tasty. You'll see if you can get in there.
Steve.
No, this business with Sandra and David is doing you no good. You'll, you know, try and get your mind off her.
I like my mind exactly where it is. Well, most of the time.
What's she want, anyway?
Oh, the Beeches want to use our centre for their annual school fair this coming Saturday.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I know. And what's more, she's asked me to be the judge.
What of?
The kids' fancy dress.
Oh, you didn't say yes.
Of course I did. I was flattered.
Oh, yeah, and after it, you'll be flattened. That's one of the most dangerous things you can do.
Dangerous? We're talking about a kids' fancy dress competition.
Yeah, exactly. And who will have made most of the costumes?
Well, the parents, obviously.
Yeah, and they're going to be well upset if their kid's outfit ain't voted the best.
Oh. Yeah, I see what you mean. All right, all right. So, what are you doing here anyway? Shouldn't you be overseeing Wally?
Oh, he's a moron. I just need a break from him for a bit. Can I put a kettle on?
You won't win the fancy dress.
Ha ha.
This is Miss Gaines, Matthew.
Hello, Matthew. Well, say hello, Matthew.
Hello.
Now, don't be afraid. Me, Miss Dawson and your mother are all here because we're a bit concerned about you.
I'm all right.
Then why don't you want to go to school?
I do.
Is there anyone at school upsetting you?
No.
Miss Dawson, I wonder if you'd mind if I had a few moments just with me and Matthew. Would that be all right? Mrs. Barnes?
Yes, anything that gets to the bottom of it.
I'll take Mrs. Barnes and show her our problems with the school hall. 10 minutes?
That'll be fine.
I'm not far away, Matthew, if you want me.
They're both worried about you.
There's no need.
Is it something that would upset either of them?
No.
Matthew, I've had a lot of experience with people who are afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Whatever it is, we can fix it.
Yeah?
Yes. Things are never as bad as they seem in our heads. The fear is usually worse than what's actually happening. Matthew?
I'm not afraid.
If there's something out there, someone in the street...
I'm not afraid! Why does everyone keep on at me? Everything's all right!
Goodbye, Mrs. Barnes. And, I'm sorry we didn't seem to get anywhere, but if Matthew doesn't want to talk...
But isn't that what you're supposed to do, Miss Gaines? Get him to talk?
I'm a social worker. Usually people talk to me, but if they don't want to, then... We need a psychologist or a counsellor.
I was hoping having Miss Gaines here might shortcut that.
It's not right. There's something wrong.
If you like, I'll fix an appointment for both of you with a specialist.
I'm not imagining things, you know.
No, I know you're not.
We'll do our best. I promise.
I hope it's soon. It can't go on like this.
Here, Steve!
What?
Look, is it all right if I nip off for a minute? Only I promised this bloke I'd see him.
It's nothing hooky, is it? Your cousin's going to be well upset if I let you go and you start doing something dodgy.
Steve, when have I done anything dodgy?
Well, apart from breaking up half my stock...
Well, you can take it out of my wages.
You don't get any wages.
But I'll only be a minute.
All right. Ah, yeah, while you're out, you can call and pick up this stuff for me.
Can I take a car? Of
course you can't. You're underage, you idiot. Anyway, you won't need a car for this stuff. Trust me, it's as light as a feather.
Miss Dawson?
Oh, hello. Back to the formalities, eh?
Huh? Oh, sorry, Mary.
You wanted to see me?
Yes. I've been thinking about this business of judging the fancy dress.
Oh?
Well, you may have heard that I'm still officially serving my sentence and I'm out on licence.
Which I believe is up very shortly.
Well, yes, just a few weeks to go. But I'm not sure if it would look good for your school to have a convict judging the competition.
You're trying to get out of it?
No, I would love to do it, but it's my conscience. You see, the way I see it, although irrationally held truths may be more harmful than reasoned errors... Are you all right?
What?
Well, that was going to be my best Huxley quote. I've been saving it up.
I'm sorry. I've got such a lot on my plate, and you pulling out like this is just another straw to add to the load.
Oh, the camel's back, eh?
I don't need to bore you with the pressures of running a school, but with one thing and another.
Oh.
And today I had a problem with a boy that I can't solve, and I feel so useless.
Oh, come on, please, Miss Dawson, Mary.
I'm sorry, it's just all too much.
Oh, come on, come here. Look, it's not that bad, come on.
Oh, this is so stupid. I'm supposed to be so tough and so possessed.
Well, you are.
They're making your shirt wet.
Oh, that's all right. Could do with a wash, eh? Come on.
Miss Dawson? Terry?
Sandra?
Oh, Miss Gaines. Mr. King here is just giving me some much-needed moral support and comfort.
Is he?
Well, I just came in to see Mary about the school fair and to tell her I'd love to do the judging of the fancy dress competition.
You'll still do it?
Of course. Oh. Got to take that last straw off the camel's back, eh?
Thank you for the suggestion about Mrs. Ward's counselling, Miss Gaines. I'll certainly chase that up.
No problem.
And thank you for being so understanding, Terry.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'll see you at the school fair on Saturday.
You certainly will.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Thank you for being so understanding, Terry.
Well, I was.
Lucky I came in when I did, or you'd have been on the floor with her.
That's an outrageous thing to say. Just because I was showing her a bit of affection.
Affection?
I meant sympathy.
But you said affection.
But I meant sympathy.
I feel sympathy for lots of people, but I don't go around cuddling them and getting all affectionate with them.
She was upset. She just needed to know that someone cared.
So, tough but caring Terry King comes to her rescue. Nothing to do with you feeling a little frisky.
And whose fault's that?
So you admit it?
No, I do not admit it. You have no right to be jealous when you're the one going all gooey about David.
How dare you?
The same way you dare infer when you inferred about me and Mary.
Mary?
Miss Dawson.
Well, this is all getting very cosy. You ought to thank me for introducing you.
This is so stupid.
Yes, it is.
Why are we arguing?
I don't know.
This is no way to have a relationship, Sandra. We never seem to have any time together alone. Where are we going?
Not very far, by the sound of it.
Oh, Terry, have you got a minute?
Go on. Mary wants you. Maybe this time you won't be interrupted.
So, how'd it go at the school?
Well, it wasn't exactly my most successful day.
So you didn't get out of fancy dress judging?
Nope.
Oh, I'm surprised, mate. I would have put money on you to talk your way out of anything.
So would I, but now and
Come
then
on,
I...
Steve.
Oh, good man, Wally. Put him in the shed.
Right.
What's he got in that bag?
Furry dice, mate. About to make a comeback as a major fashion statement. So, this Miss Dawson out-talked you, did she?
No. I just felt I couldn't let her down.
She conned you, the man that could talk anyone into anything?
Not everyone.
Sandra?
Yeah. She came in and found me cuddling Miss Dawson and got the wrong impression.
Cuddling her? You old rogue.
Oh, don't you start. It was just sympathy.
What, Miss Dawson didn't mind?
No, in fact, she was grateful.
Oh, you're in there, mate.
I am not in.
Sympathy from a woman is as good as getting her bra off. Trust me. You get them sympathetic or laughing, you're halfway there.
What about getting them angry?
Not a good idea.
I know. That's what I think. But lately, I seem to do it every time with Sandra.
you. Hold up.
Yes?
You've been avoiding me.
Oh, I haven't.
Then why are you going this way to school?
It's a shortcut.
Lucky for me, it goes past a car yard. Otherwise, I might have missed you.
I'm not going to do it.
Look, there ain't nothing to be scared of. It's cash in your hand. And cause you're just a kid, you're safe.
I don't want to do
Listen, Matthew. I've given you lots of time. All you've got to do is give out the stuff at school. I've got it all packaged up for you.
Got what all packaged up, Wally?
Terry, what are you doing here?
Well, don't worry about that. What's in those packets?
Nothing.
I got to go.
No, you are going nowhere.
Let go of me.
Wally, hand over those packages
it
now.
Ain't what you think.
Please. Oh, no.
Look. You're hurting me.
I think we ought to go inside and have a little talk,
please.
Don't you? Come on, both of you.
Terry, I can't thank you enough for what you did for Matthew.
Oh, it was luck just being in the right place at the right time.
Yes, but not everyone would have stepped in like that. Most people would have crossed over the road and passed by.
I've got a biblical quotation covers that.
Well, well, it's Miami Vice, skirt of the drug lords.
Like I was saying to Miss Dawson, I just got lucky.
Oh, excuse me, they're waving at me from the tombola. Don't forget the judging of the fancy dress is in 5 minutes.
No, I'll be there.
Seriously, Terry, well done.
What, judging the fancy dress?
No, you idiot. Wally and Matthew.
Yeah. Can you picture that? Wally using kids to sell drugs in schools. Terrible.
Oh, amazing the kids agreed.
Carrot and stick. Money if you do, punch in the mouth if you don't.
Till you stepped in.
Alessandra.
And here's the man that called the old bill.
Yeah. Felt a bit iffy nicking my mate's cousin like that.
But if you hadn't...
Nah, I still would have done it. Drug dealers are the scum of the earth. Anyway, I come over to tell you they're all getting a bit jumpy over at the fancy dress.
Oh, don't worry, I'm on my way.
Terry?
Yeah?
Have you got a minute?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right, I can take it in.
A nod's as good as a wink to a blind horse.
Well?
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention? It's just a reminder that the fancy dress competition will be judged in 1 minute. Thank you.
I think I'd better get over there.
Okay.
But I'll see you straight after. Don't go away.
Ready, Terry?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Right. I'll just get the contestants lined up.
What's Sandra want?
Well, I don't know yet. We got interrupted by the announcement.
You made your mind up yet who's won?
Well, I thought I had, but like you said, all those parents looking at me like they're going to kill me if I don't give their kid the first prize.
You'd always say it's a tie.
Steve, there are 27 contestants.
I like that kid he made up as a CD player. Must have taken his dad hours to build him into that.
Ah, which all points to the fact that all his dad has done is build it and lower it over his son, whereas the kid in the Caterpillar outfit is more about the actual kid.
Yeah, but the CD player's dad is a very, very big bloke. True.
Oh, well, better get it over with. Courage, he said.
Who said?
Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Oh, what a charge of the light brigade, bloke.
I'm impressed.
See, I'm learning from you. Go on, tell. Better get up there. The crowd's getting restless.
Ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention, please? Well, thank you. Now, I don't have to tell you that judging this fancy dress competition has been one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life. And, in the words of Professor Noam Chomsky...
Get on with it!
All right, all right. In my opinion, all the children and the people who made their costumes deserve a prize. But after a lot of heart-searching, the winners are, for third prize, number 16, the CD player. Second prize goes to number 3, the two-headed boy. And first prize, number 24, the caterpillar. Right, thank you all. Have a great time during the rest of the fair. And please, please, give generously.
Well done. You
did a great job.
Oh, thank you. And that's the first and last time, believe me.
Chomsky and Huxley. That must be some book of quotations.
Yeah, actually, look, if you'll excuse me, I promise to catch up with someone.
Of course. I'd better go and check the stalls anyway. See how the proceeds are mounting up.
Well done.
Good choice.
Oh, very.
I'm glad you approve.
Terry.
Still here?
Oh, you're not making this easy with that sort of flippant remark.
Sorry. I suppose I'm worried about what you're going to say.
Yes, I suppose I am too.
Well?
Terry, I do care for you very much. More than care for you. You've given me more love than I've ever known before.
I suspect there's a but at the end of this.
But I don't know if I'm doing the right thing in us setting up home together. For you, I mean.
Can't I be the judge of that?
No, because there's not just you and me. There's Gail. She likes you. And if we set up home and it wasn't right and you left, she'd be devastated. She's already had one dad who walked out.
And you?
I'd be devastated too.
So? I won't walk out.
These last few weeks have shown it's not been that easy for us.
Well, hopefully we won't have the problems of these last few weeks when we're together. Your mother and David.
All my problems.
Well, I didn't mean it was all your fault. Yes. I suppose I did.
See? I'm not sure if we're ready.
Yeah, we won't know, will we? Unless we give it a try.
I need time to think, get myself sorted out, without my mother. Yes, and without David.
And without me.
You're always there.
But not as I'd like to be.
Maybe. Can you give me that time?
Sandra, I can give you anything and everything you want. Just as long as you know, I'm here for you. And I always will be.
Well, I've been thinking about my situation. Baby, sometimes I think my time has come.
In part four of Coming Alive, Terry King was played by Carl Howman and Sandra Gaines by Phyllis Logan. Steve Addison was Ben Crow, Mrs. McKendrick, Sandra Vogue, Matthew, George Allenby, Mary Dawson, Elaine Claxton, Mrs. Barnes, Carolyn Pickles, and Wally, Carl Prekop. Coming Alive is written by Jim Eldridge and was directed by David Hitchinson.